This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:45. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And our next story is about travel. So states that are under an RMCO can now travel between states interstate for tourism, but only through travel agencies, which is an interesting caveat. So we want to look at how this new policy will work for the tourism industry. And this can only happen crossing state borders through, as mentioned, not just travel agencies, but tour vehicles, which are registered with the Tourism, Arts and Culture Ministry. And this would also entail, you know, say, traveling through CMCO states in order to get to another RMCO state. So many MCOs being talked about.
Yes, and I believe most importantly, one of the things is you cannot stop in one of those CMCO states. And so the idea is here, I think, to create a sort of controlled travel environment where you have people, because, you know, accommodations and activities also need to be arranged in advance. Individual tourists, when you go under a travel agency, you don't need to get the police approval. Instead, the agency will be managing this for you. And conversely, you cannot go in a privately owned vehicle. So I think the thing here is whether this is something people necessarily want to do. Is this something that's going to improve tourism? I mean, putting aside the fact that the bulk of the tourism in Malaysia comes from states that are still under the MCO anyway, under CMCO, I mean, the fact that you have to register and then go with strangers and you have to go through registered vehicles, I'm not convinced. I don't know whether people want to travel enough that they might want to do this.
There is that, right? The idea of traveling with strangers. It used to be, I think, for people who are used to going on tours, for example, and that was the primary form that you've traveled in, then this is maybe something that you're more comfortable with. But if you've been more of an individual traveler over the years, used to booking your own accommodation, used to making your own travel arrangements, then I think this might feel just a little bit alien. And if we look at the responses that have come to the move, the Malaysian Association of Hotels says this is evidence that the government has taken the industry's views into account. They're quite optimistic. They hope for looser restrictions in the near future. Meanwhile, the Sabah Tourist Association has said that it's beneficial for bus drivers and tour guides, which is a great point. Mm-hmm. After almost a year of losing their source of income, others, though, have remained cooler. I think we have seen Mata, for example, saying that, yes, this is a good move, but it may not be enough.
And I've predominantly only seen sort of lukewarm responses from you know, the average person. One of the favorite memes that has been making the rounds says something along the lines of, so I can't get in a car with my family and go on holiday, but I can get into a bus with strangers and do it. I don't think people are quite on board with this idea. Perhaps in execution, it might turn out to be more beneficial than it does in theory.
Let us know. Are you excited about the fact that states under RMCO, so this is not us, but you know, that RMCO states can now travel interstate for tourism? Eventually, we're going to hit that point where we will also be in the RMCO. When that happens, do you look forward to booking this sort of travel, you know, where it's through an agent with a registered vehicle and you know, making all the arrangements that way? Is this something you're excited about? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, on the line with us, Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of MATA, that is the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents. Nigel, it's good to speak with you as always.
Hello, ladies. Good to be back.
So, how will this move affect the tourism industry and who is it likely to benefit?
Well, look, the tourism industry has been locked down for quite a while. You know, as you rightly said, it's everybody's itching, you know, to get back to the business of, you know, serving customers. Look, in general, this move signals something positive. You know, we're happy that at least the government is beginning to loosen, you know, procedures, processes, allowing people to travel interstate. And I would say that at the very upfront, hotels especially and attractions will probably stand to benefit straight away. And of course, we're looking at, you know, all the peripheral businesses that are related, restaurants, retail outlets. I would say at the moment that these industry players would be first among the list to really see any immediate benefit from the move.
What about the downsides of this policy?
Well, I suppose it's a bit early to say whether it's good or bad. Personally, though, I do think it's a little bit restrictive, although I understand some of the concerns that are coming through from the government. The only thing we can hope for, really, is that eventually all these processes will be relaxed to the point where it becomes a lot freer and a lot easier for people to make whatever travel arrangements they choose to. I mean, I was just listening to you talk about the hotly debated issue of, you know, why can't I travel alone in my own car and why do I have to travel with strangers? On the plus side, it's not something that we're not used to. I mean, if you get on a train, you get on a plane, essentially you're traveling in a group. If you get on a bus and go interstate, that's the same thing. For the travel agents, of course, and the guides, this is welcome news because, of course, they do get to, you know, get back on feet and a bit of a living. But it's also because many of the travel agencies, especially a lot of them, have gone through a lot of training. For example, in Mata, we have a special program that teaches people how to take care of customers when they board the buses. What are the SOPs that need to be followed? You know, what to do if there's an emergency? Who to contact if there's a problem? So in a way, it's not as bad as people think it may be. It may sound a little bit restrictive, but again, not too much different from traveling on public transportation.
Can you talk to us about the role that travel agencies and agents will play in this setup?
Well, at the very get-go, depending on how long this regulation lasts, I do see travel agents rising to the occasion to provide these transportation services. And it's kind of good because it will allow them to pivot. So instead of saying, hey, we're only going to be running buses from one depot to the other, because they are tour buses, you know, they will be able to take people on customized itineraries. So, I mean, just think of it as, you know, having your own personal coach. You can go wherever you like. But apart from that, travel agencies like those providing more specialized services, you know, those doing eco-adventure, climbs up to Mount Kinabalu, you know, treks through the forest. Those travel agencies will probably stand to gain quicker because they do provide a very specialized service. The rest of us, though, those who are doing outbound, those who are doing more mass tourism, standard tourism, we may have to wait a little bit longer for things to ease up a little.
What about the question of costs? Now that we have the travel agents facilitating this entire thing, will that mean that the traveler or the tourist will have to end up paying more?
Not necessarily so. Look, of course, first thing we've got to look at is that when a travel agent provides a package or a tour, normally, all right, what they're doing is they're basically bundling a whole list of services, all right? Hotel, accommodation, in some cases, food, and of course the tour component, the logistics component. Now, people have tend to have the misconception that it costs more to go with the travel agent, and not necessarily so, because travel agents do get specialized bulk pricing for this. And by the time we package it and on-sell it to the customer, it often ends up competitively priced as to what a independent traveler might do on his own, or even slightly cheaper depending on the size of the group and the makeup of the tour. Now, the other thing to note is, of course, it does take a lot of hassle off from travelers who may need to spend time planning, doing a bit more research. And if they've got special needs, you know, they're traveling with the elderly, they've got special dietary concerns. You can basically just lump all of these concerns with the travel agent and say, hey, take care of it for me. And quite frankly, you may find that the cost is not much more than what you would pay if you were to go on your own.
And so on the part of the travel operators then, what sorts of prep will they need to put in place for this? Are the SOPs provided feasible to implement?
Okay, the best thing about the SOPs at this point is for travellers and for tourists is that A lot of it has been very well defined by the MKN, and it's very widely accepted. These SOPs are basically what you will find anywhere you go. You know, social distancing, making sure you wear a mask, sanitization, you're making sure you log in and log out using my Sejahtera app. So all that's already very, very commonplace, and this is what most of the agents will be sticking to. That being said, however, a lot of agents do have additional steps they're taking. So this would mainly involve the sanitization of their vehicles, for example, making sure that the people they work with also adhere to the SOPs, you know, up to the travel agent's standards, because, of course, we don't want to get sued. We don't want to be given bad press for the service we provide. So, again, most of the SOPs are already commonplace. And what the agents normally will do is they'll take the extra step to ensure that their customers are comfortable, well taken care of.
So in terms of what Tourism Malaysia is saying, they're saying that Malaysia, they are banking on this idea of domestic, quote-unquote, revenge tourists, right, to boost the industry here. People who are just, as you said, itching to go out, especially once it's safe to go out again. What is your observation when it comes to this?
Okay. Let's just say that domestic tourism is a step in the right direction. You need to get people moving in order to stimulate the economy. It's not just about tourism, it's about every other aspect, of our way of life. So domestic tourism in itself is an important thing to help jumpstart that, that desire to travel and to spend. But will domestic tourism really help to save the economy? I don't think the answer is a yes, and it simply boils down to a matter of numbers. So unlike places like in China, where they have a huge population, or in the United States, where the landmass is big and people travel constantly, even during, even with restrictions, that sort of domestic tourism is sufficient and capable of supporting the economy of that particular country. For Malaysia, it's more of an incentive and a motivation for people to just get going and start spending. Now, I would probably venture to say that as far as domestic tourism is concerned, it's going to help the industry especially get back on track with servicing customers. So we've been idle for so many months. This movement of people is going to get people back in their offices. They're going to get staff back in their jobs. They're going to get hotels thinking about how to do marketing. And all this will lead up to some sort of preparation for when borders, a wider range of borders, are open, especially international ones.
Nigel, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Pleasure.
That was Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of MATA, that is the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, speaking about the fact that states within the states who are RMCO states can basically travel interstate for tourism, but only through travel agencies. And we wanted to know your thoughts on that. We are getting messages, which we'll get to after the 7 o'clock news, but keep them coming. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.